Curiosity killed the cat. Children should be seen and not heard. Mind your own business. Don't speak unless spoken to. We've all heard versions of these idioms growing up. For many generations, children, and especially girls, were not encouraged to speak or even ask really difficult questions, to challenge, or to wonder why. But that's changing, and just as well. Research shows that cultivating curiosity leads to better learning, creativity, as well as well-being. And having a curious, inquiring mind leads you to expect the same from others and feel confident using your voice, knowing you will be seen and heard. Imagine a new generation of young people who understand the value of asking questions and listening, really listening to the answers. I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director of the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, and this is On Educating Girls Shorts, a new audio offering from the Coalition that doesn't replace the podcast, but provides practical tips and advice in a short, easily digestible format. In this episode, we weave a convincing argument from our podcast archives for why curiosity is one of the most important skills to cultivate in young girls. The curious are more patient people. A 2022 study by Dr. Abigail Shoon at Duke University in the U.S. showed that heightened curiosity in people made them more willing to wait to find out the solution to a puzzle. Less curious people, in contrast, were more impatient to get through the task quickly and wanted to jump straight to the answers. Quote, high curiosity meant that people wanted to have that moment of realization and discovery on their own, end quote, Shoon told a BBC reporter. Her findings suggest that in education, greater patience and prolonged engagement are likely to lead to deeper research, learning, and understanding, which may explain why curiosity is such a strong predictor of academic success. But it's not only in education and academia that curiosity is so valuable. An inquisitive, questioning mindset allows us to consider the possibility, probability in fact, of not having all of the answers, but to keep on problem solving nevertheless. This means the curious are able to imagine a future where things might be different and might even be better.
I think the only way forward towards meaningful and collective human progress is through recognizing the wrongs of the past and being able to engage with and deconstruct the kind of systematic injustices and underlying beliefs of the institutions of our society and us in society as individuals. Personally, a lot of my activism is driven, I guess, to some extent by a personal stake in these issues, but I think to a great extent, it's driven by a sense of empathy and a strong belief that things really should be better in our society than what they currently are, and a belief that in order for things to change, it really requires a kind of collective cooperation and engagement with these issues.
That was a student from one of our member schools in Australia. The feeling of collective cooperation that she mentions can only thrive when leaders model it for young girls, when voices of authority help to create a space that feels safe and gives young people the courage to speak. Curiosity undoubtedly helps to foster this environment. Research shows that being curious makes people more open to hearing others' opinions, even if they differ from their own. This is essential if we want to have productive disagreements, have the chance to learn and grow from debates as opposed to simply being canceled, and to avoid confirmation bias. Dr. Lauren Leck, head of school at Academy of Our Lady of Peace in San Diego, explains how leaders can help girls find the skills and confidence to bring big ideas into life.
Because sometimes in leadership, we know innately, but we don't always have the language. And I stumbled upon this book from Stephen Covey. It's called Trust and Inspire, How Truly Great Leaders Unleash Greatness in Others. Ah, there it was. And I think that Trust and Inspire is able to encapsulate what we are doing here at OLP, from modeling leadership, imbuing a leadership that trusts those around us, helping our students feel that trust so they can bring those big ideas forward, and inspiring them, connecting them with that why, right? Why we do what we do, and helping them rise to those moments. I believe that when students feel trusted, when they feel inspired, and when we as teachers and adults create that culture, whether it's in our home, our families, or in a school, students will get to that yes. They will have the courage to move forward and to be part of the conversation.
Feeling comfortable enough to ask questions and express yourself is one of the foundations of curiosity. This can be difficult, especially when in a new school or in an unfamiliar situation. Joey Adams, an alum of Washington School for Girls in Washington, D.C., who serves as the manager of graduate success and outreach there, gives some advice for trusted adults.
I think the important thing is being able to just learn out students and just simply listening to what they have to say, because that can go a long way into assisting them with that adjustment. We have all been in a space where we have been the new kid on the block or the new individual. And sometimes all we just need is a listening ear. We just need a new companion. And I think that as a supportive adult in the community, that's what we can do best for our students.
What young people need to know is that they are loved and valued even when they make mistakes. A curious mindset allows missteps, iteration, and steady progress instead of instant gratification and perfection, especially in this chronically online world. Curiosity acknowledges that there is not only one right answer or way to be. If a girl feels pressure to fit in, she might keep silent instead of speaking up. Curiosity is inclusive. It gathers in and allows instead of excludes and opposes. Instead of creating adversaries, this mindset invites young people to look for allies amongst their peers. In an earlier episode of On Educating Girls, Cindy Locke, former principal of Branksome Hall Asia, weighed in.
So we want our girls to see themselves as building relationships with each other. Their classmates today will be their future collaborators, their business partners, their support network, not their competitors. And that actually was a shift in mindset for the girls. Really, we focus on helping our girls develop their confidence, find their voice, and explicitly we teach them how to be respected and respectful.
Girls who speak less and are quieter generally need to be heard too. The reason for their reticence might not be that they have nothing to say, but rather they might not yet know how to say it. Liza Gorontek, a former classroom teacher, is the founder of Real Discussion, an organization committed to the idea that discussion skills can be taught. REAL is an acronym for four fundamental skills: relate, excerpt, ask, listen. Callie Hammond, a girls' school educator and ICGS Global Action Research Fellow, joined Liza in a previous episode of our podcast, reminding us that girls are eager, interested, and delighted to engage. If we offer them the tools, they will have the confidence to speak up.
The girls who felt more introverted would just let their friends talk, or they might get totally off track and start talking about something else. And so when I would, you know, stop the conversation, the discussion, and I would say, okay, how did that feel? And it's interesting because even sixth graders can offer their opinions and say, oh, well, you know, this girl talked a lot and maybe I didn't say anything because I felt uncomfortable or I didn't know what to say. And so they already know those things. And so then I would have the conversation with them. Well, how can we make this better, right? How can we prepare? How can we get everyone to talk? Maybe how can we share talking time with each other? And so if you just start that conversation with them, they already know these things that they need, but they don't know how to do it.
The encouraging takeaway here is that no matter their start in life, girls can be encouraged and trained to cultivate curiosity. The philosophy will make them better problem solvers and members of the global community, and then everyone benefits.
Educating girls is the single most important pathway to a more peaceful and prosperous planet. Period. All of our planet's biggest challenges, whether it's climate, polarization, equality, racism, will not be solved effectively and efficiently if we don't have more women around the table of decision making. And I think that those indispensable women who we need around those problem solving tables of decision making are going to come disproportionately from girls' schools. Because what we do at girls' schools is we're incredibly committed and united in elevating women's leadership worldwide. And we do that inside our schools by making sure that our students are educated and empowered to assert their voice in the world and to claim their space in the world.
Thank you so much for tuning in to our short series, where we round up the best nuggets from previous guests on the podcast on educating girls, produced by the International Coalition of Girls' Schools. And if you like this, you will love our full episodes of the podcast, where listeners are offered resources, language, tips, and programs for educating and empowering young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls best. If you're a regular listener, please help others to see this content by leaving a comment and a 5-star review. For more information on the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, please visit us at girlschools.org.